Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of the Lineup Logic Podcast. I'm your host Scott, aka Kingsguard, aka KG, here to bring you through the Masters slate. First thing I definitely want to get into, you know, huge thanks to Sean and Fern and Spectre and all their continued work on the cheat sheet, because, you know, their desire to grow the pod and the community and kind of keep us all together, you know, the fish against the sharks. It's really been a blast, and, you know, we're really looking forward to crushing this MLB season. You know, started off nice today, a little 130 on $21 in entries. So, you know, we're going to hope to keep that up and find those stacks filled with dingers. On top of that, you know, huge thanks to all the patrons on the Patreon page. You guys are the best. You know, definitely been enjoying the Slack channel. You know, talk plays, share lineups, a place to tilt when you're winning a lot of money or losing a lot of money. You know, there's the good tilt and the bad tilt. And, you know, I love going through both with you guys, and it's been a blast. So, you know, I definitely really appreciate you. And, you know, I hope that we can continue to grow, you know, and start taking down them sharks. Just to give you guys an idea of my golf background, I'm an avid golf player. I shoot around a 90 on a great day and 100 on a bad day. You know, I'm no scratch golfer, but I really love to get out there and play, you know, great courses up here in New Hampshire and in Connecticut. But when it comes to fantasy, I usually play on Yahoo for their season-long format, and this is actually a great tool to use for DFS. It's free, and they give you the season-long numbers, the last month's play, as well as their event history. So it doesn't always take into consideration if different events have been at a course. It just strictly goes by the actual event. So it typically goes back about five rounds because a lot of the events change courses. But that's where I go to find out who's been playing really well, who's been very cold, who's missing cuts. You know, that's kind of the worst thing that we can get on a DFS team is a miscut, whether it's DraftKings or FanDuel. You know, I really, really focus on course history and, you know, how many times a guy's missed a cut at a certain place. That's one of my go-to strategies in terms of trying to not get a goose egg. You know, I'm really looking forward to going over the slate. You know, there's a lot of golfers that I love. You know, I watch through the PGA Tour. I go to the Honda Classic every year, and sometimes I get out to the Deutsche Bank, but it's not always that I get a chance to go. So, you know, this is not some I hardly follow it situation. I definitely have a extensive background on the PGA and the players involved. Now just taking those stats and that knowledge and trying to crush GPPs, and, you know, that's really going to be my focus. I don't typically play cash, so I just figure I'll stick to just putting the GPP caveat. But in terms of the format, I'm going to go similar to the NBA pod that Sean does with, I'm going to go with two studs, two grout, and two value, but I'm going to do that for each rounds one and two and rounds three and four as I'm focusing on FanDuel. Might do a DraftKings recap, depending on, you know, the response to this pod. And if people want to know certain plays with the DraftKings salaries, I'd be happy to do it. You know, so I feel like it's important to focus your efforts on determining which golfers you're going to play in each of those segments, because, you know, you really cannot afford to have a zero in rounds three and four. You know, Spieth missed the cut last week. He was 45% owned and got a zero burger for everyone. So it's really important to look at that. So, you know, now that I've explained my background and kind of the basic strategy, you know, let's get into the plays. So I'm going to start with rounds three and four, as typically this is where I'm spending a good chunk of my salary. And once you know who you're playing in the final two rounds, it kind of gives you a better understanding of how much money you have left to play for the guys in rounds one and two. So for rounds three and four, my two studs, the studs being 9K and up for the golf format, Number one, I'm going Rory McIlroy. You know, he's 10,400, and he's definitely going to be someone I'm putting in rounds 3 and 4. He's 2 and 2 in terms of making the cut this year, and he's finished in 4th and 7th in those tournaments. So he's definitely playing hot right now. It is not a situation where he's coming in cold. Like, I believe that was the situation last year. He was changing to the Nike club. So there's a lot more uncertainty with Rory, but I think that's all gone this year. In his career at Augusta, he has 5 starts and 2 top 10s and has never missed the cut. So that's definitely, again, something I'm looking for, someone who doesn't miss the cut. So I make sure I don't get, you know, a 0 in rounds 3 and 4. In terms of, like, the raw numbers, you know, he ranks at the top of strokes gained tee to green. So it's going to be hugely important at the Masters to get the ball in the fairway and get on the green in regulation. This is where, of late, his putter hasn't been ranking statistically well. But I think in a major tournament format, Rory's going to be playing up. And if he gets the putter hot, it's going to be really difficult to stop him. So I'm definitely locking him in to my lineup. And my second stud, I'm going to go with Jon Rahm, the Spaniard, at $9,300. Basically, it's a situation where if you like made cuts, he's the guy you got to play. He's 6 for 6 on the season, and in his last 5 events, he has 4 top 10s, and then the other one was a 16th place finish. So there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be making the cut because he's just playing out of his mind right now. And again, that's huge for me in terms of these guys that I'm going to play in rounds 3 and 4. I can't stress it enough. I feel like a broken record, but you want to make sure that he makes the cut. And just to top it all off, Rahm, you know, he's actually been scoring more in rounds 3 and 4 than rounds 1 and 2 in all those events. So I'm pretty confident that you got to put him in the lineup and he's going to be right there in rounds 3 and 4. The one kind of mystery with Rahm is he's never played the Masters, so he has 0 experience. So I'm really hedging on his recent performance translating into a made cut. Because it's just, as long as he makes the cut, he does not need to, like, go off and win. You just need, like, have him finish in a top 25, get those bonus points, and kind of jump ahead of the field if a big name misses the cut. Moving on to the Grout, which are going to be golfers from 7K to 9K. My number one Grout is going to be Louis Oosthuizen, 8,500. He's a really great play here for rounds 3 and 4. You know, he had his memorable battle in 2012 with Bubba Watson where he came away with 2nd. And in his past 5 Masters, while he only has that 1 top 10, he has never missed the cut. So, again, this is the kind of course history I love when looking at these kind of guys. And the only thing that would concern me would be if he were coming off a few bad starts recently, but he's made 5 of 5 cuts this year. And, you know, even though he's previously struggled with a back issue, and that usually translates to him playing bad golf, he has not been, there's been no talk of a back injury being a problem for Louis. So I'm confident he's going to make the cut here at the Masters. And then my second, he's a guy I'm locking in on at least 95% of my lines, is Tyrrell Hatton, another foreign player, another European, 7,600. He's another guy where I'm trying to use their recent play in those statistics and trying to predict their success in the Masters. He's not played at Augusta either, just like Rahm, so he is another wild card in that regard, but his recent play has definitely locked him in for rounds 3 and 4 for me. He has 3 top 10s in his 3 PGA Tour events, including 4 fourth-place finishes and a 10th place. So on top of the fact that he ranks 1st in strokes gained putting and is 19th in strokes gained tee to green, and, you know, there are a lot of golfers, so being 19th is not middle of the pack like in the NBA or NFL. He's in the top percentile, so to speak. So he's not only been elite in getting on the green, but he's been taking advantage of those opportunities, and that's really why I love Hatton here in rounds 3 and 4. And from the Grout, we're going to move along to the Value, which are going to be the guys under 7K. And my first pick is going to be Adam Hadwin at 6,300. You know, he's representing, if I could talk in the English language, Hadwin is going to be representing Canada this weekend. It's pretty much him and Graham DeLay. And his recent success is why I have him as my value pick in rounds 3 and 4. He's 7-7 and made cuts this year, 3 top 10s and a win at the Valspar Championship. So, you know, after following up his win with a 6th place finish at the Arnold Palmer, I feel confident he's not just a flash in a pan, and I think he's going to translate well to the Masters stage. You know, he's 7th in strokes gained putting in major championships, typically come down to getting hot with the putter. So at 6,300, I pretty much view him as a steal. You know, just got to really hope that he makes the cut. He could be in play in rounds 1 and 2 if you want to kind of get someone who starts off hot. You know, I don't know if he'll be able to maintain and go for a win. But, you know, again, with rounds 3 and 4, just make the cut, please. That's all I need from you. And my other value guy is going to be the Duff Man, Duff Daddy, the Duffster, Jason Duffner at 6,900. He's been playing really great lately. You know, I did get a chance to see him at the Honda Classic. He didn't have it was the 4th round. He was sort of in contention, and he just had that, you know, lazy lard Duff face on and didn't really seem to be into it. But I think that that's not going to be the case at a major championship. He's got 3 top 25s in his last events, but he's not been able to put it together totally in rounds 3 and 4 to get those top 10s. So this is kind of my contrarian play, so to speak. Looking at his recent performance, and you'll see that he has been scoring better in rounds 1 and 2. So that's where the ownership percentage is going to be. That's where you're going to not really have much differentiation with Duff Daddy. That's why I kind of want to push him to rounds 3 and 4 and hope he's lesser owned. And since it's a major, he might be able to be up to the task to get it done, because I don't think it's an issue. He's won majors before. He won the 2013 PGA Championship. So I really think that Duffner is a contrarian play in rounds 3 and 4, but great value at 6,900. So that pretty much brings us through all the guys for rounds 3 and 4. I mean, you know, you could really tell that making the cut was huge. I'm not playing a guy who's missed a cut at all this season in rounds 3 and 4. It's not going to happen. I mean, I don't really care what golfer it is. Like Adam Scott, sorry, Spieth, sorry. Can't play you guys in rounds 3 and 4. I mean, everyone's an option in rounds 1 and 2, because a lot of times tournaments start off fast and these golfers go off for -7 and -8 burgers in the first 2 rounds, but then everything gets tightened up after the cut and a lot of guys are shooting more close to par. But again, I'd rather pay up in rounds 3 and 4, because, you know, you just need points there. But going into rounds 1 through 3, or 1 through 2 rather, my number one pick is going to be Henrik Stenson. The reason I'm going with Henrik is that he's just been awful of late. And that's kind of funny to say, but he is a top-ranked player in the world, and he has not had a round under par in his past 2 events, and he's missed the cut both times, and he also withdrew from the WGC Mexico event. So I played him in rounds 3 and 4 in that event and got a nice WD burger to show for it. So I really consider him I swear to God, he is good lotto ticket in rounds 1 and 2, because even if he misses the cut after putting up like a +9 in round 1, he could still come back and shoot like a -6 in round 2 and at least get you something for rounds 1 and 2. But again, like, I really don't want to pay up 9,200 for a gooser in rounds 3 and 4. So you gotta, if you're playing Henrik, it's got to be rounds one and two. And along with Henrik, I'm going with Phil Mickelson. He's been playing a lot lately, and with his older body, so to speak, I tend to get scared he'll randomly have a dud because he's really just not as young as he used to be. And he hasn't missed a cut this year. He's been 7-7 for cuts. And, I mean, I love Phil, so I don't completely discredit him as a rounds 3 and 4 play, but that would almost feel like it'd almost be more chalky to have him in rounds 3 and 4 than 1 and 2. His Masters success has been completely volatile. He's had 5 starts, he's missed the cut twice, and has had 2 top threes. So it's pretty much you're either getting a miscut or an incredible performance. And with all the value and all the younger guys who are going off right now, I'm just not really looking to pay up for Philly Phil this week. But he is in play if you're looking to have a guy that you pay up for in rounds 1 and 2, kind of like a Phil where they're a little bit older, so maybe they'll get a really good round 1 or a really good round 2. And, you know, even if they won't win, they still will at least give you some points for their successful early rounds. And from old Phil, I'm going to bring it into the grout. You know, that again, that 7 to 9K range. And first overall grout rounds 1 and 2 goes to Justin Thomas. He is 8,900. He's another great golfer who's really seen his ups and downs this year. He's only made 50% of his cuts. He's 3 out of 6. But when he does make the cut, he usually goes off in rounds 1 to 2 and then cools off for the later rounds, you know, which is why I do believe he is somewhat viable here for rounds 1 and 2. He's played the Masters once. He made the cut, but he finished in 39th with a plus 10 burger. So I don't really see him as a play in rounds 3 and 4, and I really tend to fade the studs and the grout pretty much in rounds 1 and 2. But if you're confident in your rounds 3 and 4 plays you got, and you got the salary for it, he's definitely an option. And almost as like a theme to my plays, another European player, number 2, I'm going with Paul Casey at 8,300. He's really hard to project here. I mean, this year he's made 6 of 7 cuts, but he has not registered 1 top 10 all season. And this is a guy who was like on fire at the end of the year last year and was like a must play. But now he's just really been making cuts and not really doing much with it. So I really don't think he goes off in this tournament. But he is someone who could have a really good round. And I'll gamble that he's having a good round in rounds 1 and 2 over rounds 1 and 3. He's played the Masters 3 times and he's missed the cut twice. And the other time that he had a start, he did finish in 6th. So he's done it here before, but it's still going to be really tough for me to play him in terms of my strategy. But if I were going to be picking someone around that price in rounds 1 and 2, Paul Casey's definitely a play. And that will pretty much bring us to the value section, you know, under 7K. I'm pretty close to the 7K range. You know, there's some guys that I would consider other than just these two, and you'll pretty much find out who they are when I go through my lineup. But my first value play is going to be Francesco Molinari, $6,900. In his last 6 events, he's got 1 top 10 and 4 top 20s with 1 missed cut. That's really the only thing that puts him in rounds 1 and 2 for me, besides his course history, where he's played the Masters 3 times, 1 missed cut, and a top finish of 19th. So he's never finished like even top 15. I'm pretty confident that Francesco is going to make the cut. I'm not as confident as I am with the other options. So I really feel he's a play in rounds one and two exclusively. Like, I don't look for him in rounds three and four at all, even though, you know, he's got a good price and has made a lot of cuts. You can't play him in rounds three and four. He's just not going to put up the scores you need. And speaking of not putting up the scores you need, I move along to 6,800, Brooks Koepka. I mean, he's pretty much a pure lotto ticket for you old NBA cheat sheet fans. He's like an A-lister in Yahoo's fantasy format. He's like a stud. He's won before. He's played really well. But Brooks really has not been playing well of late, and that's why he's going in rounds one and two. If he's at all being played, I would play him. Like, I have no problem playing him in rounds one and two because he has that potential. You know, these young golfers tend to go through more dramatic ups and downs, so you gotta hope that you catch him on the up as opposed to a down. He's only made 2 of 6 cuts on the year, so again, I do not like the way he's playing right now, and that doubles last year's total. He only missed 2 cuts last year, and he's already missed 4, so it's pretty ridiculous. But I do think that for rounds 1 and 2, at only 6,800, Brooks is a play. You know, definitely will have low ownership due to his recent performance, so you have a chance to, if he goes off in one of those early rounds, to get a large advantage over the field. And, you know, those are going to be my plays for the Masters. Kind of to just take you through my line that I built. You know, I definitely had to start with John Rahm, Rory McIlroy off the bat, rounds 3 and 4. And again, as I mentioned, I had to bring Tyrell Hatton into this because, you know, he's just been making cuts like crazy. So there's no way I don't have him in rounds 3 and 4. I brought Adam Hadwood along from earlier, you know, pretty much using as many picks that I talked about as possible because, you know, I don't like to be the person who tells you to play all these players and I don't play them myself. That's kind of why I got into this in the first place is, you know, I want to talk about the guys who I'm playing. And I'm not trying to deceive anyone. You know, I want to win money with you. If you enter this same lineup, we'll split the winnings. That's cool with me, you know. So, going to rounds 1 and 2, I went with Francesco Molinari. And then what I had left in salary, I did not have enough to play any other of my plays. So I went with Ryan Moore at $6,600. He's another guy who was playing really well last year. Hasn't been playing as great, but who's someone who could step up in a major championship and put up a great score early on. Daniel Berger at $6,400. He's someone who's been going on young golfer up and down tour. But he's just kind of a guy I like. I mean, he's from Palm Beach Gardens, and I go down there like every year. So he's kind of like my home away from home town guy. So I'm definitely going to play Berger in this line. And then I'm going to finish up with Leishman, the Mark Leishman at $6,500. I think he's a great play. He's someone who, again, is like, I think he's an A-lister on Yahoo, but he's very underpriced on FanDuel. Like, Ryan Moore and Leishman are both very underpriced. In some tournaments, if there was not a great field, they'd be the guys that are like 10K, 9K. But because this field's so stacked with goats like Rory and DJ and Spieth, their price just, I guess, just tends to come down. Like, I know Justin Thomas was 10K earlier in the year, and, you know, look at him now, he's in the 8Ks. But I guess I'll wrap it up here with a honorable mentions. Kind of just taking a quick look at the guys that I may not have stated specifically were my plays, but that I'll have some piece of and that I'll probably be playing in other lineups. So, you know, Jordan Spieth, obviously, he crushes it at the Masters. He's 10,600, so he's super expensive. But I'm going to get him in some rounds 3 and 4, just as some like chalk insurance, so to speak, because I'm not trying to fade Spieth or really any of these top golfers and hope that whichever one wins, I have him in the most lines, because, you know, it's not super easy to pick a winner of a golf tournament. You know, it really could be anyone, but if you hit on your chalk, I mean, all of your contrarian lineups are going to be nothing. So I always like it when, you know, the Spieths and the DJs don't win. So I'm going with Spieth and Ricky Fowler at 9,200. Ricky's been super hot of late. He's definitely someone I'm playing across multiple lines. Those guys and like DJ, obviously at 11, I'm going to have a DJ line. Kind of other sleepy guys, Jonathan Vegas. He's been making cuts like crazy. Like, he doesn't have great past experience pretty much at any course because he sucked. But he's been actually playing really well. And he always goes to the Honda Classic, so a special place in my heart for Jonathan. He's going to be someone at 5,300. I'm going to be sliding in both rounds 1 and 2 and in rounds 3 and 4. As some real contrarian, especially in rounds 3 and 4. But I mean, he's made 6 of 6 cuts. He doesn't really contend. He's had 1 fourth-place finish, and then it's a bunch of 15s and 28s and 34s. But I mean, at the Masters, if you can get me that, I'm on board. And I guess lastly would be Justin Rose. Justin Rose is due. He's 7 of 7 in cuts this year. He's 9,500. He did take off the match play tournament, so he's definitely ready to go off. I mean, he just put up 50 points in rounds 1 and 2 at the Houston Open, and looking at his numbers, he does tend to go off more in rounds 1 and 2 than 3 and 4. So I may try and play him in rounds 1 and 2, because I feel like a lot of people will have him for rounds 3 and 4. So that's another strategy within a strategy. Try to play guys that you know are locks, but sometimes throw them in a lineup in a different set of rounds, because it's going to be contrarian. Not many people will, like even Jordan Spieth, if you go Jordan Spieth rounds 1 and 2, a lot of people will try and save him for rounds 3 and 4, pretty much knowing he'll make the cut because he beasts at the Masters. And then last one, and then I'll let you guys go, will be Bubba Watson. I mean, Bubba, he either finishes with a second place, a win, or a gooser. So, I mean, he has not been playing well of late. With his past Masters experience, I would put him at least up at 9K. So the fact that he's 83, he's super sneaky. And, I mean, if it's a Bubba wins year, then you're going to be in a really good place if you play Bubba. So again, thanks a lot, guys. I do appreciate it. You know, again, visit the Patreon page. I've contributed to other podcasts in the past, and this is the type of community I like to be involved with. And I'm glad that, you know, I can be a part of it and, you know, try and take down them sharks to you guys. So again, thanks a lot to all the guys out there on the Patreon, in the Slack channel, Sean, Fern, Spectre. You know, you guys rock, and we'll talk to you again soon. Why you got to give